Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham dhammam sangham namassami. So I thought I'd offer a few reflections on shrines and the use of shrines. A shrine either in a temple or in your own home can be a very powerful thing if one makes it a powerful thing. So if somebody who's grown up a Buddhist and been around Buddhism all their lives has faith in this convention, then already a powerful thing. But often for people coming to practice from different culture, then it's something that we have to make into a powerful thing. And if we do this, then a shrine can become a powerful thing in our lives, generally, not just at the time that we in a temple or when we're doing puja or whatever, chanting. But in many ways can become a skillful means to help us along the way. So I'll go through a few of the ways that over the years I've found we can use a shrine as a practice in itself. So it's looking at the shrine then, the Buddha and the candles and incense, and the Buddha, the awakened one, represents the refuge in the Buddha, and the candles, the refuge in Dhamma, and the incense in Sangha, traditionally speaking. So there's the light of the Dhamma, the candles, and then the fragrance of virtue, the incense. So if we reflect like this, then we can develop stronger perceptions. Perception is such a powerful thing in the mind. The more we develop these perceptions in the mind, the more powerful they can become. We think of the fragrance of virtue as we put the light the incense, think of the light of the Dhamma as we light the candles, and reflect on the goodness and the compassion and wisdom of the Buddha, the stillness, the serenity of the Buddha. And we bow to this, and we bow to this externally, we bow to a shrine, we're also bowing to these qualities internally as we do this. This is the first part, is often the introduction people get when they come to a monastery, how to skillfully relate to these things. And then there's other kinds of other things that one can place skillfully on a shrine. So, generally speaking, I would place the Buddha highest, and then the candles and incense at a level or a little lower. Then you can place all kinds of objects on your shrine if you wish to signify certain things or to certain practices. So, often there'll be a picture of the teacher, kind of a live teacher, a person that you've met. That you hold up as a example of their practice. And then there may be a picture of a loved one, say, mother and father, or wife, or sister, family, or your best friends, or someone that you're concerned about. This is the other way to use a shrine, to place a picture of somebody up there that you're a bit worried about, and want to spread metta to. Often I'll put up pictures, say, a picture from the newspaper, when those poor children were shot in America. Then I got a picture of the class kids and put them up on the shrine for a while, sure shared the merits of my practice with them. And because this shrine is a special place, Then to me, to put that up there means that I pick it up as a practice to spread metta, compassion to these people, and then I can also put it down again. There's a way in which we can pick something up, pick it up, put it on the shrine, practice with it, and then we can take it down again, put it away. So always a shrine with two tiers, the first shelf, a tier for the objects of veneration, and then a second shelf for these kinds of things. All kinds of things have crept into my second shelf over the years. Piglet, for example, to put him up there to keep it light. This kind of childlike quality, which is very close to the practice of this innocence and childlike quality in the mind, to remind me of that, or a crucifix. Often I've had a crucifix up there, so something, having grown up in the Christian tradition, seeing Christianity as a proper religion, really. It's taken a long time to really see Buddhism as a religion, in the way that I saw Christianity as a religion. To put a crucifix on the shrine is a way of making it seem more religious in my mind, with this kind of perceptions. Contemplation objects, for people who like to contemplate. I'm a bit of contemplative, contemplating the body, so often there'll be a bone or two up on my shrine, which is the object of contemplation given to me by my teacher, Ajahn Anand, to help to contemplate impermanence. That's also often up there. So all these are skillful ways of using a shrine, and then to be able to regularly bow, when you enter the room where the shrine's in, it's good to bow to it. So if you have a room in your house where you can walk in, there's the shrine, and at least when you first enter the room, then you bow to the shrine. This is what we do as monastics. It's maybe not appropriate as lay people to do that, but it's not somewhere where you put your ashtray or something. It's a place of respect, and then anything that you put up there, then this kind of respect rubs off on that object, whatever it is. But it's maybe not that you put everything up there, is it, either? So I often remember our times of great stress in life and or difficulty, then it's often the shrine that's been the most source of steadiness or sense of the timeless. Seeing it's always the same, you sit in front of that and you chant away, do whatever you do, meditate. There's this kind of source of stability in this. At times when there's nothing more you can do, you lose a loved one or something like this, then to light the candles on the shrine, bow to the shrine as usual, is an extremely powerful thing to do. So at least that I can do, no matter what. And no matter what's going on in my mind, no matter what's going on in my situation, I can still do that. I can still raise up these qualities in my mind, even if my mind's a mess, and those qualities are absent in my mind as I do so, then I can still make the act of raising them up. And this can be very steadying. This kind of sense of connection with something timeless, a tradition, some source of steadiness at times when there are times, isn't there, where nothing we can do, nothing else we can do except reach out in this kind of a way. Nothing we can say. It's a way of kind of externalizing in a way the three refuges, Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, putting them out there, and then relating to them in a skillful way. Also over time then internalizing these qualities. So the idea, of course, is to have a shrine room. You know, you have a special room with your meditation cushion and your shrine there. But not a lot of people can do that. But you know, find a corner, quietest corner, and put it up reasonably high. And then you keep it clean. All these kind of acts of respect towards those things, these objects that you are empowering for yourself. You give something else respect, then you can find a source of respect in yourself if you internalize these things. Often sometimes the kind of external respect is easier or comes quicker, sometimes not. Sometimes we have to really experiment. Find things to put up there that really touch us in the right places. While maintaining a sense of respect or connection with their tradition, to get this kind of sense of timelessness. So a few suggestions there then on the use of a shrine. It's only just it's a way of setting up the whole process of meditation, isn't it? That you sit there and you face your shrine, you light the candles and the incense, you set in the context. And this can be surprisingly effective over time. At the beginning, we think, just keep skipping over it and just sit and do the meditation. That's what we want to do. So a few ideas there then for using a shrine to develop practice, skillful means for your reflection.